Everybody have the sheets? Okay, put some in the back. Okay, thank you all for getting here at wait, we want to go at 9:50, I go to? 55? You tell me when to speak still, then I'll speak for a while. Okay. Thank you for all getting here at this early time. The first slot that just this is when it works for me. I have another share after this. So there are marmacomos, those who need, there are more marmacomos in the back if anyone needs. But let's talk about a topic that I've been wanting to talk about the past couple of years, but I haven't gotten to it. So this year, hopefully, Baruch Hashem, we're able to do it. And it really is a topic that relates to three of the Chagim, because that's what we're going to talk about. The Tur in Siman Taf Yud Zayin in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh quotes something from his brother. And he quotes, Shamati Me'achi Tam Udavar, a Tam, a reason. A reason for what? The Tur quotes there, a minhag of women not doing certain malachos on Rosh Chodesh. Not such a common or well-known custom is manazeh, sewing, and other hardcore malachas. So the Torah quotes that there's some women that know it. So Rosh Chodesh has become known as the holiday of the women. So where does that come from? So the Torah quotes in Medrash, in the name of his brother. Source number one. L'fisha Moadim niskanu keneged avos. The Moadim were enacted keneged the avos. Pesach keneged Avram, Pesach is keneged Avram, Avinu, Dechsiv, Lushi, Va'asi, Ugos, Pesach Hayah. When the malachim came, it was Pesach. Ugos, matzah. So Pesach and Avraham, that's what you do with each other. That's number one. And Shvu is Keneged Yitzchak. Shetkiya Shofar Shomatan Torah Hayah B'Shofar. Me'ilo Shal Yitzchak. The shofar that was blown at Maimed Har Sinai was the shofar from the Akedah. Doesn't have to be literally the same shofar, but there's obviously a connection that Chazal are trying to make between Akedas Yitzchak and Yitzchak Avinu and Shvuis and the shofar there. And Sukkis Keneged Yaakov. Sukkis is Keneged Yaakov, Devsiv, Ulamikneyu, Asa Sukkos. When Yaakov Avinu encamped, he built huts for his cattle, for his animals. And because Sukkos, he's Keneged Sukkos. That seems a little weak. It's a word game. He built little huts for his animals, and therefore he's Keneged Sukkos. And Avraham Avinu, it happened to be Pesach when the Malachim came and he served them matzah and Shavuos as a shofar. What is the deeper connection? This is our main question. The deeper connection between the Chagim and the Avos. Avram and Pesach, Yitzchak and Shavuos, and Yaakov and Sukkos. And if we think about it, yes, each one of these have their own unique theme, but they shouldn't be looked at as separate independents. Because as we know, often in the Torah, whenever the Chagim are mentioned, it's not just one. Right? For example, in Parshas Mishpatim, in source number two, Shalosh Regalim Tachot Li Bashana. Three Regalim. It's together. When the Chagim are mentioned, it's a package. Shalosh Regalim. That's what we call them. The Shalosh Regalim. Today in Davening, tomorrow Davening, we don't just mention Sukkos. We mention all three. Right? We talk about, somehow all three are have a message for us to get as a theme. There are marmakomos on the over there. And this is even might even be reflected in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. Shabbos Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph is one of the greatest. I mean, every daf in Shabbos is great, but Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph in Shabbos, you don't get better than that. I mean, first you have in front of you, you have the source for Shas, Mishnayos, the source for six Siddurim is there. You have the six questions we're going to be asked. You have Hillel not getting angry. You have the three times that the converts come to Hillel and Shammai, all on the same Amud. I mean, you can't get more jam packed than Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. But on the bottom of that Amud, you have the source for Shas, the names of the Siddurim. As we know, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Vaya Emunah Zitecha, Chosin Yeshua's Chachmas Madas, Emunah Yisra'el. Enitecha is Moen, Chosin is Nashim. Without getting into the details right now of what each one has to do with that word. Yeshua's salvations, Asayda Nezik and Bechul. So a question that is asked, should have probably be even more asked by all the Mepharshim, and that is, we all grew up with this, the six Siddurim. Why is moed in the singular? Right, all the Siddurim are in plural. Zroim, Nashim, Nezikin, Kadshim Taras. But it's not moedim. It should be, okay, Zera, Moed, Isha, Nezek, Kodesh, Tahar. And yet only one of them is Lashon Yachid. So why is moed picked out? So here's one of the Achronim from the 17th century, the Smichas Chachamim, Sefer HaMaseches Brachos. So he suggests, well, maybe it's to emphasize that each moed has its own theme. Each one is its own moed. That's why it's singular. Moed. But maybe you can say exactly the opposite. It's singular because there's one composite message that we get from the package of moed. It's all moed. It's all one unit with three parts. But it's all one unit. And that's what our job is tonight, to try to figure out what exactly is that message, that package deal that we're supposed to get as we stand here on the last night of Sukkot. Tonight's the last night of Sukkot. Tomorrow night is the Chag of Me'atzmo. And Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. That's the triumvirate. That's the three. So tonight's the last night. So let's try to figure this out. What exactly is the message of Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot? How are they connected to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? One final question. It is Sukkot. Let's talk about one specific question related to Sukkot. Some of you might be familiar with this. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah on Daf Gimel in source number 4 tells us a story. Right, the only Masechta in Shas that starts off with Agadah. Masechta Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, some of my Talmidim here know, it's one of the most underrated Masechtas. Certain Masechtas that are known to be amazing, and certain ones, Avodah Zarah is underrated. It has Halacha, it has Agadah, it has Lamdas, and we don't learn in the Yeshivas. Well, learn Yeshivas, you have to learn everything. But Avodah Zarah is one of those, not to belittle any other Masechta. Martin Erevin says that you can't say anything is great because then that's mashma that something else is not great. Okay, but we're still allowed to say what our favorites are underrated. So everybody should learn all Torah. But Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, the Gemara there discussing La'asei Lavo. And La'asei Lavo, Hashem is going to give out schar to all of the Jews that follow the Torah, and all the other nations are going to come to Hashem and say, hey, it's not fair. It's not fair, you didn't give us the Torah. Hashem's going to say, I offered it to you, you didn't want it. It's like, oh yeah, but you forced it on the Jews. Forced it upon us? You didn't force it upon us. Hashem's like, I knew you wouldn't. Come on, one more chance. One more chance. Hashem says, but that's impossible. Right? The Gemara says, Amr Lufan, Rebona Shalom, Sonar Lanu Me Rosh Menasena. Come on, give us another chance. Amr Lufan, Magadish Baruch, who showed them, you fools. Mishatarach the Erev Shabbos, Yochab Shabbos. If you put up a chalant on Friday, you'll have chalant on Shabbos. But if you don't put up the chalant and you walk into the kitchen and you expect chalant to be made, if you didn't make it on Erev Shabbos, it's not going to be ready on Shabbos. This world is Erev Shabbos. So if you weren't Torah in this world, what do you expect? But you know what? Hashem says, I'll break the rules. I'll give you one more chance. Give you one more chance. Here's my trial. Take one mitzvah. What mitzvah does he give him? Sukkah. Sukkah, he gives him the mitzvah of sukkah, where it's underlined, mitzvah kali, yeshli, the sukkah shmalachu, ba'asu, so don't do the mitzvah of sukkah. How could Hashem do this? Hashem can break the rules. So what happens? Second to last line, miyad kol echad ve'echad notel v'holeh chosah sukkah v'rosh kago. Everybody goes and builds their sukkah. V'akadosh baruch hu makdir aleihem chama b'tkufas tamas. He makes it boiling hot. Boiling, boiling hot. So what happens? The goyim leave their sukkah, and on their way out, they smash down their sukkah. Who needs this mitzvah? And they go inside. And the Gemara says, "I mitzar patam na sukkah. What's the problem? No, you don't knock down your sukkah. Okay, you leave, like you're upset that you couldn't do the mitzvah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka give them this mitzvah? To test them, to give them one. Anybody need more? There are more sheets here. Anybody needs please in the back. Anybody needs more sheets? Why did Hashem test them with this mitzvah more than any other mitzvah in the world? Does sukkah represent something? Does it symbolize something that Hashem was trying to teach them that they needed to learn? Okay, so let's get started. Avraham and Pesach, Avraham and Yitzchak, Yaakov, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. Avraham and Pesach, we'll start off with. What is the connection between Avraham and Pesach? So we will see, Be'ezus Hashem, there's a surface understanding of the connection, but then there'll be a deeper understanding of each of these connections. So Avram and Pesach, they're both the beginnings. Right? Avram is the first Jew. Pesach is when it started. But it's a little deeper, and then we'll see it's a little deeper than that. The Medrash tells us, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Bo, when Hashem gives Moshe the command of Korban Pesach, and Moshe gives B'nai Yisrael, Vayikra Moshe l'chozek B'nai Yisrael, Vayomer aliyem, Mishchu k'chu lechem tzon, take the Korban Pesach, Mishchu, pull, u'kechu, and take, what's the double lashon? Chazal understand, Mishchu yedechem me'avodah zara. We were Ovid Avodah Zara, we were on the 49th level of Tum in Mitzrayim. Carbon Pesach, and there are many rise to this. We're not going to go through all of them. The Meshach Chachma in Baloscha has a long piece on this. Carbon Pesach is the anti-Avodah Zarah carbon. It's the first carbon we receive nationally. It's the first set of halachas in the Rambam, Hilchos Carbon, the Sefer Karbanos. It symbolizes service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anti-Avodah Zarah. Mishchu Yedecha Me'Avodah Zarah. The Chizkuni, one of the Rishonim from the Beis Medrash of Rashi, goes through every single detail of Karban Pesach, how it's to undermine and to show the Mitzrayim and the Jews that Avodah Zarah was worthless. Right? After all, they're sheep. The sheep was the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. The sheep, so what do you have to do? First thing, you have to take it 4 days before, tie it to the bed. Says the Chizkuni. And what's going to happen if you have a sheep tied to your bed? What's going to happen all night? They're going to hear their God tied to the bed. What a bizarre. Not walking around, right? Not independent, tied. And what do you have to do? You have to barbecue it. Barbecue. When your neighbor's having a barbecue, the whole neighborhood knows what's for dinner. It's not like you're cooking something in your house. The aroma wafts. Oh, who's having a barbecue? So they all know. And just in case you think it's a piece of chicken, you have to roast it whole. You have to see what it is. Whole. And you have to make sure it's cooked. I'm talking to men or not. Right? Don't be scared. Oh, it's cooked already. Let's bring it inside. No, leave it on the fire. And when do you have to shaft it? When you have to wrote Bain or Abayim in the late afternoon, not when they're at work in the fields, in the late afternoon, when everybody's coming home from work. So how you shaft it? Tavim! It has to be complete, without a Balmum, not a Nebuch sheep that has a broken leg and has, oh, who wants this anyway? A perfect sheep. You take this perfect, beautiful item and you shaft it for HaKadosh Baruch. Says the Chizkuni, again, we're not going to read, I gave you some of it. Inside, Sela bayis every house, tzliyesh, reicho, holet, v'nodev, v'cholpen shal mitzriyim. Karban Pesach is the anti-Avodah Zarah karban. And if you think about it in that way, Avram Avinu. What was Avram Avinu's life about? How did he start? Turning over to source number 8. The Rambam, again, the Rambam talks about this a lot, but I gave you a little part of it. Kivan shenigmal eitan zeh. Once this Eitan is the name of Abraham, once this strong man, he was a boy, once he was weak, he was 3 years old. Right? The discussion that we showed him, how old was Abraham when he recognized God? 3, the Rambam says 40, some others say 48. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig always like to say that it's a process. Obviously, it was recognition at different stages. And the question is, what do you focus on? Which stage of recognition do you call recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But there was a recognition. Right, 1948 he was born, when he's 52, he also recognized the year 2000. Either way, says the Rambam, Kivan shenigmal eitan zeh, hischil l'shotei panaito, v'hu katan. He started thinking about things. V'hischil lachsho b'yom ha'alayel, he started analyzing. V'itamiya, heich efshar, sheigal galazeh no heich tamid, the sun, the moon, how does this work? This is a perfect system. Here's the sun, and there's the sun again, and here's the moon, and here's the stars, and here's the constellations, and who set up the system? What, it just happened? But Avram said, I need answers. He talked to his father, he talked to his neighborhood. Nobody could give him answers. It can't be, there's nobody in charge. It's impossible that it goes around itself. He didn't have a teacher. He was amongst the idolaters. They were all idolaters. But who obeyed Imahem, said the Rambam, and he worshipped. He was an Ovid Avodah Zarah until finally he got it. Actually, and he knew there was one God, etc. And then he started spreading. Avraham Avinu was the anti-Avodah Zarah. He was the first Jew, but not just the first Jew. It's an exact parallel to Pesach. Pesach, Korban Pesach, is anti-Avodah Zarah. Avram Avinu. So that's one parallel. But maybe there's a deeper one. Maybe there's a different connection, an additional connection between Avram Avinu and Pesach. And we'll see this through the words of the Chassam Sofer. And if the Chassam Sofer didn't say this, we would never have the audacity or even think to say such words. We're going to do two Chassam Sofers tonight that are unbelievable. This is the first one. Says the Chassam Sofer in source number 9, this is in his Hakdama to his Chuvis Yaradei. It's called Pituchei Chosam. That's a few pages there. There he talks about why Hashem loved Avraham so much. Right, he's the only one in the Tanakh that's called Ohavai, my beloved. There are many people in Tanakh that are called Eben Hashem. Moshe, Yoshua, Ovadia, Eov, many Avdei Hashem. Beloved to Hashem? Avraham Ohavai. What makes him so beloved? Says the Chassam Sofer, source number 9. Ho Rebazeh, ki nifleis avas Hashem la'avram avinu al ha'sholom. Al shelimeid da'as es ha'am v'kirvam la'avodas. Because it wasn't only about himself. It was about the people around him. Avram Avinu spent his life not only focusing on his own spirituality, but focusing on everyone around him, lifting them up. V'hi sha'amdo lo yoser mikol ma'aseh ha'tov. That stood him in good stead as a merit more than anything else that he did. V'schus ha'nefesh asher lo la'atzmo. Ki be'emes gam l'fan av ha'yuchidei skula asher yado as Hashem. He could have spent his day talking about philosophy and meditating with the geniuses of the time. But what did he do? He went around to every level of society and started talking to them and building them up and lifting them up. And he says, Mi lanu gadol mi Chanoch. Here's the line. Chanoch, number 7 in history. Right, what happened to Chanoch? Remember, he lived 365 years. He didn't die. Ki lakach oto alokim. Hashem took him. Why? He was so perfect. He reached such levels that he couldn't be in this generation. Hashem had to take him up to Shemayim. Avram Avinu, when he wasn't on that level, he wasn't as great as Chanoch, says the Chassam Sofer, no. He could have been had he spent his time by himself meditating and connecting to God. But he knew that's not the call. He knew what he had to do was to sacrifice his own levels of Avodas Hashem in order to help out other people, in order to lift them up, in order to inspire them. And that's why he was beloved in the eyes of Hashem. Because he made that decision. He saw what happened to Chanoch and to Noach and to the Dor HaMabul, and he realizes it's not about being personally great. Line 10. V'lo matzinu ba'avraham al v'shalom she'ez nizdakef afariso kolkav. We don't find that Avraham purified himself as much as Chanoch. Ach lo mitzad p'chisus v'chisara nasha. Not because there was anything lacking. Lo hiki al amala hazu. Lo. If he would have chosen that path, his alagamu, he could have done that. But he didn't. He was boning bechachmaso. It's not about ourselves. It's about building ourselves up in order to then inspire others and to bring others up. Line 5 on the left side. Ki tov la'adam l'ma'it b'ashlamas nafsho. It's better for a person to lessen their own perfection. L'ma'an ervos kavod Hashem, in order to bring kavod to Hashem. There's a thought in my family that we say often whenever Hakel comes up. Reb Nassan Adler, the Rebbe Chassam Sofer. I just thought if you got it from his Rebbe, Reb Nassan Adler. Reb Nassan Adler has a vart on Hakel. What happens to Hakel? Right, just this week, right? Anashim Rashim Atav. Everybody has to come. Men, women, and children. And all. The babies have to come. What kind of spiritual experience is going to be that? You're going to be there with the diaper bags and the stroller and the wife. And just go yourself. Wouldn't that be greater spiritual experience than to take everybody? Says Anashim Atav, that's the point. The point is to sacrifice your own Avodas Hashem in order to go up and to bring your family up. So, before we get Aliyah, probably about 15 years ago. Remember, we were coming to Eretz Yisrael for the I forgot what it was. We hadn't been to Chevron in many years. So we planned this whole trip to Chevron with a bus, with the whole family, the extended family. We were so psyched to talk to my kids, because I'm Milchi and Maris Machpelah. It's amazing, amazing. Anyway, make a long story short, we get there, we get to Maris Machpelah, with Avni Mincha, Ashrei Yoshevi, it's the best, one of the best Ashrei's I've ever had in my life. We get there, and the davening just starts Shmoneh Esrei. In the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, my 3-year-old, Abba, I need the bathroom. I said, come on. There's no bathroom in Maris Machpelah, as you know. I'm like, and like every time, the volume starts getting louder. You know, Abba! I started talking to the point to the women's section. You know, take ruin my wife's mincha. We have to ruin my mincha. Abba! Forget it. It was like one of the worst minchas. I go out, I find the bathroom, come back, I missed it. I go back in, my wife knows what I'm saying. Like, we're not an Adler. I said, be quiet! So, you know, anyway, but this is the Chassam Sofer, Avram Avinu. His godless was that he shared it with others. Maybe that's the connection to Pesach. Because we don't have any other holiday that there's so much an emphasis on sharing it with others. V'higadata l'bincha v'yom alu v'emar. It's about sharing, it's about bringing the family up. It's about bringing, kol dichven yeseh v'yechol. So maybe that's the true connection between Avraham Avinu and Pesach. Yes, anti-Avodah Zarah. But maybe it's about sharing Torah and bringing others up. Number one. Next, Yitzchak and Shavuos. Yitzchak Shavuos, the Torah quoted, remember the shofar of Akedah, who's the shofar of Maimon Har Sinai. What's the connection? So again, a surface connection, and then something deeper. On the surface, one might say, what is the connection between the Akedah and Maimon Har Sinai? Maybe it's based on Rashi. Rashi at the end of the Akedah story in source number 11. Ki atoya dati, Hashem says, now I understand. Now I understand. Now I know that you're Yirei Shammai. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar lo Avram, Acharesh lepanecha sifchasi. Avram, Hashem, what do you want from me? I don't understand what you want from me. You tell me, etmol amar taliki v'yitzchak ikar l'chazara, you told me that Yitzchak's going to be my progeny and a nation and amazing. V'chazarta v'yamarta, and then if you kach nev bincha, go kill your son. So which is it? I don't understand. This is going to be ki v'yitzchak, kill my son. And now you say, don't. Hashem says, let me explain. So Avraham Avinu doesn't know what's going on. But Rav Dessler points out, Avraham Avinu did not ask the question until afterwards. When everything was over, Hashem, could you explain what's going on? Ki b'yitzchak, Hashem said, no, I told you to bring him up, not to kill him. When Hashem gave Avram the command, kachnas binchas yichidchas rahatas yitzchak, Avram doesn't say a word. He says, I don't understand this, but I'm going to do it, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do it. I'm going to act, and maybe later, I'll be able to understand. That's the godless of the Akedah. He didn't question at the beginning. He said, this is what I'm going to do. What does that sound like? Acting before understanding. Na'aseh v'nishma. The Akedah was an act of Na'aseh v'nishma. I don't understand, but I'm going to do it. Because Hashem, I trust you. There's a beautiful Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, I gave you part of it in source number 12. Parshas Yisro. Where the Beis Halevi discusses how exactly did Na'aseh v'nishma work anyway? Halachically, there is a principle that we know, probably have come up through the travels of Shas, Hodas, Baldin, Kimei Edim Dam. If I go over to you and I say, I hereby promise to give you a million shekel, I have to give you a million shekel. But what if I say, I promise to give you whatever you want? Whatever you want, you pick the number. I owe you zero. Because you can't obligate yourself to a davar she'eino katzur, something that's not definite, something that's not defined. To ask the Beis Halevi, so how did Na'aseh v'nishma work? Hashem will do whatever you say. How is that binding? How is that halachically binding? That's the kasha of the Beis Halevi. In front of you, you have the answer. Source number 12, turning over. Hateret was at the top line, says the Beis Halevi, I explained already. Even though I've told you that if I say I'll do whatever you say, it doesn't work. But you know what does work? I could go to you and say, I accept to be your Eved. I accept to create a relationship. Not to do anything, but to be somebody. You are my Adon. I am your Eved. That's possible. That can be done. Step two, then the Eved has to do whatever the Adon asks him to do. That was Maaseh V'Nishma, says the Beis HaLevi. It wasn't that we'll do everything. We didn't have any idea what was going to happen or what Hashem was going to tell us, but we accepted to be his Eved. That was Maaseh V'Nishma, and that's the Akedah, an exact parallel. Amram Avinu didn't ask questions. He said, I'll do it. And he didn't. So on the surface, maybe that's our connection between Akedah and Shmuas. Beautiful. But maybe there's a deeper idea. Are there more sheets? Are you looking for sheets? I don't know. There's one new sheets here. Some over here. What's the problem with this approach, though? It's Abraham. It's not Yitzchak. Maybe Yitzchak a little bit. But maybe this is Abraham. Abraham would be didn't ask questions. So there's another unbelievable Chassam Sofer. This is number two of the evening. These are two Chassam Sofers to take home. We'll get there in a minute. There is a famous question that Tosfos asks in Masechet Shabbos. On Daf Peches, which is already asked by the Midrash. And this is going to reflect a deeper message and connection between Shavuos and Yitzchak at the Akedah. Tosfos asked that on the same daf in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Pechesim and Aleph, we have two chazals. One of them is a pasuk. One's a chazal. Naaseh V'Nishma, Hashem will do it. On the same Amud, Vayetziatzu B'sach B'Sahar. They stood at the foot of the mountain. The Chizkuni in Source 13 also quotes the question. Rashi quotes, Kaf al Arkayikis. Hashem forced them. Hashem held the mountain over our head like a barrel and said, if you accept, great. If not, I'm dropping the mountain. And there will be no Jewish history. So, ask Tosfos, ask the Midrashim. So, was it forced or was it willing? Was it Naaseh V'Nishma? Was it Kafalem Arkayigis? Tosfos gives one answer, other answers given. But the Midrashim quote an answer. The Chizkuni in one line, but you have the Medrash in 14. Says the Chizkuni, Im Tomar Ekvar Nemar Naaseh V'Nishma, Ela Yishlomar Torah Shebal Peh, Lokim Luadai. Naaseh V'Nishma Torah Shebichzav. That's finite, that's small. Okay, a little bit to help explain what the words mean. But they were ready to accept Torah Shebichzav. Torah Shebal Peh. Every time you go into this farm, so there are more books. Torah Shebal Peh is infinite. That they weren't ready to accept. That Hashem had to force them. Because Hashem says, if you accept Torah Shebichzav, you need Torah Shebal Peh. You can't understand one pasuk in Torah Shebal Peh. If you go right outside this building and you go out straight and you make a right turn, right after the construction, on the left side, there's an old Karai Shul. Right, if you've ever seen it. You see, on the wall there, on the wall right there, it's written, Shema. On the wall. Because it says, so on the wall it's written. How do you know what you're supposed to write on the wall? Oh, we take it literally. We put tefillin over there. I didn't know what it's supposed to be in tefillin. I didn't know what tefillin looked like. You don't know any mitzvah without Torah Shebal Peh. If you accept the Torah Shebichzav, Torah Shebal Peh is its partner. You can't have one without the other. So Naaseh V'Nishma Torah Shebichzav. But then Hashem made the commitment full with Torah Shebal Peh. That was Maimon Har Sinai. That's what the Gemara, the Medrash says in Source 14. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Amar lohen al Torah Shebal Peh sheish ba dekduke mitzvos kalos v'chamuros. It's hard to learn all of Shas, right? To learn every halacha, to learn every Turbis Yosef, to learn every Kiddush Eger. Not easy. We all want to do it tonight, right? We love to stay up all night and learn Shas, but it's a lifetime. It's many lifetimes. The Azakamav is for Kashik Shol Kenasa. Lufisheno Lomedo Sal Misha Oivakarish Barachu Bukhaliba Bukhamasha. It's a real commitment. So we needed some help. But that was Maimon Har Sinai. It was a commitment to Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebal Peh. Now we get to the second Chazam Sofer. And what does this have to do with Yitzchak Avinu? Says the Chazam Sofer at the end of Aruch Chaim in Siman Reish Ches, Surah 16. Avram Avinu did the Akedah. It's unbelievable. It was a tenth test according to Moshe Rishonim. But guess what? He heard it from HaKadosh Baruch. If Hashem asked me to do something, no matter how crazy it is, hopefully we'll try to do it. Hashem asked me. How did Yitzchak hear about it? Hashem didn't tell Yitzchak anything. One day Yitzchak turns to Avram and says, "How you doing now, Dad?" "I'm doing great. Yeah, God spoke to me last night." "Really? What did he say?" "He said, yeah, I have to kill you." "You sure he said that? You sure? He's been telling you your whole life that that's child sacrifices is not so what he's into. Maybe you heard wrong. Maybe just call him back to make sure. Yitzchak didn't talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak's act of the Akedah, says the Chasam Sofer, was a bechina of Torah Shebaalpeh. Because he didn't hear it. It wasn't open as Torah Shebaksav, hearing it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Emunas Chachamim. It was trusting Avraham. That Avraham got the right interpretation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him. And says the Chasam Sofer, that is unfathomable. Avraham Avinu Meila. Look where he says. Let's start with line 4. Maybe he made a mistake. Right? Maybe everything you've done your whole life, how can Hashem have commanded you to do that? But Avraham Avinu didn't take any, didn't ask any questions as we said before. But then where it's underlined, the Ein Menatema al Avraham, Sheshama Menachadish Baruch Hu Atzmo, fine Avraham, he heard from Hashem. Avo Me'atema al Yitzchak, Shekibel Me'Avraham Ashu Keneged Askeloso, V'yiyef Shalishmo Aklau, Yitzchak, Mikomako Mokir Agam Avra Yidivre Chacham. He did, it wasn't Maharer, he didn't question, and Yitzchak Avinu performed the Akedah, allowed himself to be taken by his very old father, 137, because it was a bechina of shibui to Torah Sheba'al Peh. So Maimed Har Sinai and Akedas Yitzchak, that's Yitzchak Avinu Davka. Yitzchak, the shofar of the Akedas, the shofar of Maimed Har Sinai, on a deeper level, yeah, the first one, Nasa Benishma, commitment to all parts of Torah, Torah Shebaksav, and Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay. We're up to number 3. Remember, we have Avraham and Pesach, Antoya Bodhisattva, but deeper, sharing Torah, caring about others. Then we have now Yitzchak and Shavuos, and that is the commitment to Torah Shavuot. Number 3. What is so significant about that pasuk that the Torah quoted? Right, you have it there again in Surah 17, the full pasuk. The Yaakov Nasa Sukosa. Avraham Avinu travels to Sukkos, Vayivan lo bayis, he builds a house, Ulamekneu asa Sukkos. And for his cattle, he builds huts, and therefore he called the place Sukkos. Sounds very lame. He called it, why didn't he call the place bayis? Because he built a house. He's emphasizing something about his cattle, and he built Sukkos for his cattle, and therefore he called the name, called the place Sukkos. What is so significant about that? And remember the question we also started off with, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, which we now haven't gotten back to. And that is, why did Hashem Dafka test the Umos Ha'olam in the future with the mitzvah of Sukkah? No, give us the mitzvah! Come on, it's not fair! Okay, try Sukkah. That's the one, and they fell. And they failed the test. So what exactly is that about? Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Emes Liyakov. Source 18, a pasuk that Be'ed Hashem we're all going to sing and hear on Simchas Torah. Torah Tzivalonu Moshe Mora Shakilas Yaakov. And that's a significant pasuk, not just because it's a song and it's in the Parsha. The Gemara in Sukkah in Yonat Yoma says that when a child learns to talk, that's the first thing you have to teach a child. not Abba or any other word. The first thing that we're supposed to teach a child how to talk, Torah Tzivalon Moshe. So obviously it's not just the words, it's the message. What's the message? Every word in that pasuk is significant. Torah, it's Gematria 611, plus two words from Hashem, Torah Tzivalon Moshe, that's 613. Every word we could focus on that pasuk. We're going to focus on the last word. Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. I asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, why Yaakov, not Yisrael? Isn't Yisrael the name that we received after fighting the Malach? We're called B'nai Yisrael. So why Dafka, in this context, are we called Yaakov? Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Dehine Yeshno Hevdel Mahuti Bein Torasam Shel Yisrael L'Toras Ha'umos. There is a fundamental difference between Judaism and all other religions. Deba'od She'etzel Shara Umos Torasam Hi Rak Moreshes Yechidim V'Rak L'Gedolei Amal Chachamim Chachmeim Hi Misora. Who has to be religious in other religions? There's the clergy and there's the religious leaders. But they have different rules than me. I'm a regular guy. I don't have to be religious like they are. Right? The highest level of clergy are different. They're not allowed to get married. They're not supposed to talk so much. In Judaism, it's the same rules for the greatest of the great and the lowliest of the low in society. Every strata of society, it's the same mitzvahs and the same tefillin and the same ases and los ases. There's no difference. Yes, there are groups, Kohanim Leviim, but that's not because they're religious, because I was born into it. But Judaism is equal. Yaakov is the name of our nation. When it's not just Yisrael, the aristocrats, the high level. Yaakov is the Akev. All Jews. All Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. It's a Morasha. That's what Soloveitchik pointed out. It's not Yerusha, which is an inheritance that's personal. Morasha is a heritage. It's passed down from generation to generation. And it's for everybody. And that's what Morasha Kehilas Yaakov is teaching me. And what is that based on? Rav Yaakov goes one step further, line 20. And if we think about it, we'll realize, why does it apply to everybody? Because it applies to every aspect of our life. It's not just about being religious in a shul, in a temple. We have to act like Jews and be religious people on the street and playing a basketball game and eating, because everything is governed in how to tie our shoes. Everything is governed by halacha, and we can make it significant and uplifted, so it applies to everybody. Because every aspect of our life is part of Avodas Hashem. And every aspect of our life can be uplifted and raised to the level of Avoda. After all, Tosfos in Brachos says, why do we not make a new bracha on Berachas HaTorah every time we open up a sefer, even though we take a couple hours break? Einu miyayish daita. Because a Jew's mind is never divorced from Torah. It's always on our minds. Every single aspect of our life. That's the mitzvah of Sukkah. The mitzvah of Sukkah teaches me that everything in my life, my eating, my drinking, my sleeping, my hanging out, could be uplifted and labeled as a Dvar Mitzvah. Sukkahs in an extreme way, in the Sukkah. But really, it is every single day of our life. And that's why the Goyim were tested with this mitzvah. Because this symbolizes the difference between our nation and the other religions. Yeah, be religious. Why'd they reject it? Eating? I'm going out to party? This is religious? This isn't religious. I'll be religious in church. I'll be religious in the temple. I don't have to be religious in the restaurant. Yeah. Because whatever we're doing is a religious act. Everything we do. That's why they were tested, Dafka, with this mitzvah. More than any other Av. More than any other Av. Yaakov Avinu was the Av of everyday life. The Av of showing us that Avoda is not just, he didn't just do what his grandfather did, speak to people about God, Avram Avinu. He dealt with nitty gritty, Esav, and Lavan, and working for 20 years for a living, and dealing with his children fighting with each other, and Shimon and Levi, and famine. This is Yaakov Avinu. He dealt with life's problems. He dealt with every day. That's Sukkos. Sukkos is avoda of every day. Sukkos is taking every aspect of our life and having it as part of Avodas Hashem. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, Nimsa, source 21, Hamahalek b'derech zu kol yamav ovedas Hashem tamid. If somebody serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu all his days, he's always worshiping Hashem. Afilu b'shoshah knows even noten, even when he's doing business. Afilu b'shoshah boel, he's with his wife. B'bisham achshavaso b'kol kadesh yimsa trachav. Everything is l'shem shamayim. That's Sukkos. That's Yaakov Avinu. And that's how we have to look at our lives of Avodas Hashem. So we have three regalim, and we have three avos. But we started off by saying it's moed, it's singular. So maybe it's a package that we could put together. Let's review for a minute. What did we say? Avram Avinu and Pesach. Okay, on the surface, that's anti-Avodah Zarah. Carbon Pesach is the anti-Avodah Zarah carbon, like the Chizkuni said. And Avram Avinu, anti-Avodah Zarah. But we said it's deeper. The Chassam Sofer. Avram Avinu didn't just care about himself. He cared about others. He wanted to uplift others. That's Avram, and that's what Pesach is about. V'gadta l'bincha. Yitzchak and Shavuos. Nasav and Ishma, they did it without asking. No, but that's Avram. What's Yitzchak? Torah Shebal Peh. Maimon Har Sinai was the commitment of Torah Shebal Peh. Nasav and Ishma, Kavla Merka Gigas. And that was Yitzchak, who didn't hear it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He only heard it from Avraham. But that's Torah Shebal Peh. And finally, third, Sukkos and Yaakov, it's Dafka, Kehilas Yaakov. Because Yaakov symbolizes every Jew. All of Torah is connected every Jew because every part of our life is a spiritual act, is something that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. And that's Sukkos, and that's Yaakov Avinu, who was the Av, who symbolized this. But maybe we could put all three of these together as a package in three different ways. Well, obvious, but maybe just to say what's already in your mind. Number one, maybe all three are al shlosha dvarim ha'olam ha'omed. Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Avram Avinu, Chesed, he's worrying about others. Raising everybody else up, not just worrying about himself. Yitzchak, Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebal Peh. Torah, the commitment, each Chag, connects us in a different way. Yaakov Avinu is Avoda, not Avoda in the Tefillah sense, but that every aspect of our life is Avoda, is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Schachter likes to quote the first the Radak in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua on what the definition of Eved Hashem is. Source 22. Misha Sam Kol Kocho V'Kavanaso V'Kol Ashkechoso. Somebody puts all of his Koach and his Kavana and everything B'Shem Yisbarach. Everything he does. V'Apis Asko B'Nyani Olam. Even when he's involved in things from the world. Miskavim L'Avodas HaKel Yisbarach. Hu Yikrev El Hashem. That's Avoda. That's Yaakov. It's everyday life. So maybe that's the package. Torah, Avoda, and Gilas Chasadim. But maybe there's another package. Maybe we unite these three ideas in another way. We know there are three elements to our Avoda. Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chavero, and Ben Adam L'Atzma. Avram Avinu Ben Adam L'Chavero. Focusing on each other. Focusing on lifting others up at his own detriment. Yitzchak Avinu, Ben Adam Amaka. Commitment to every dikduk halakha, Torah Shebechsav, Torah Shebapeh. And finally, Yaakov. Taking every part of my life and making it part of my religious personality. Connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every area, Ben Adam La'atzma. Not just what I'm learning. So maybe that's the package. Maybe there's one more. We know six mitzvahs tvidios that the Sefer HaChinuch lists off. The first Bir Halacha quotes them. Two of them have to do with emunah. They're different. Believing in Hashem and Avodah Zarah. So we'll leave those two out. And one seems to be very specific. But what about the other three? Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Yichud Hashem. Maybe that's our triumvirate. Avram Avinu. The Rambam tells us at the end of Hilchos Tshuva that when you really love something, you can't hold it in. You have to share it with others. If you love somebody, you just have to tell everybody how great they are. If you really love Torah, you're overflowing. You can't hold it in. You just have to share it. You know what? Avram Avinu shared his Torah with others because he couldn't not. He just loved everybody so much. I once saw in a Sefer, you know, everything on the right is always like more chashuv. So why is your heart on the left side of your body? Hashem could have created your heart on the right side of your body. Why is it on the left side? It's on the right of the person you're looking at. And that's the focus of our life. Lifting others up. So that's Avas Hashem. We love Torah so much, but to share it with others. Number two, Yitzchak Avinu, Yira, Kafalen Harkagigas. That was out of Yira, the total commitment of Ben Adam of Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebal Peh. And third, Yichud Hashem. What's Yichud Hashem? So yes, it means the oneness of God. But there are a number of Mefarshim say that it also means the oneness of my life. It's a beautiful art scroll sefer of the six constant mitzvahs. So if you look there, in 24, Yichud Hashem is seeing every aspect of my life as part of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All activities, ones that feel holy and ones that seem mundane, are part of the service of Hashem, as long as we engage in them with correct parameters. So maybe that's Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and Yichud Hashem. So whatever three you want to say, whether it's Torah, Avodah Zarah, Bein Adam, Lamakom Mecher L'Atzmo, or these three, it's a package. And again, I don't want to go over, but just to end with, we had the Dolim in our generation that symbolized and showed these for us. When I was in YU, remember, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, every time he came into the Beis Medrash, he was already after his stroke, and he could barely walk with the walker from the door to the front. It was in the old Beis Medrash in YU. It was about, I don't know, from here to the window. It took about 7-8 minutes for him to move with his walker. He usually came in the middle of davening in the morning. Rav Shapka stood up. When he walked in, he didn't sit. He'd be a little shma. He would not sit down until Rav Aaron got to his seat. And he could barely walk, but I always heard him mumble things. I could never knew what he was mumbling as he was walking there. So I asked his son once, Chaim Soloveitchik, who's a rav in Rapi Shemesh, about it. He says, yeah, he used to mumble, Achas, Achas V'Achas, Achas U'Shtayim. Every step of the way, Achas. That was Avoda. He was walking, but that was Avoda. That's like Yaakov Avinu. Every aspect of life. And of course, the Gadol Hador of our generation is Moshe Feinstein. My mother tells me stories. My mother, Allah Shalom, should be Aliyah for her neshama. She tells me stories about Rav Moshe. Little kids used to be playing like dodgeball on the street, and Rav Moshe would be walking on the other side. One would call to the other boy, "Maishi, Maishi." Rav Moshe would say, "What?" I'm like, "No, not you." But Rav Moshe was totally unassuming. But his commitment to Torah, to his fealty to Torah, like Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh, and not coming to Libra's Moshe, he says, you can't paskin any Shiloh unless you have Yiras Shamayim and trepidation to Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat Peh, everything. And the responsibility that Rav Moshe felt to a fellow Jew, just end with this story, I used this in Shabbat Shuva. There was a Rav in Pittsburgh that told over the story that he grew up on the Lower East Side. And he was, 1976, he went to Israel for the year, Telstone, through Yeshiva. And towards the beginning of the year, he had some Shiloh. So he always used to, Rav Moshe was very unassuming, he used to answer his own telephone. So he had a Shiloh. A couple weeks after he got to Israel, so he called Rav Moshe. So he answered Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe answers, "Hello?" And at that second, he realizes, "Oh my gosh, I forgot the time difference. I just woke up to Gadol Hador in the middle of the night." And he wanted to fall into the ground right then, and he says, "I'm sorry, I can't believe, I'm sorry, Rebbe, I'm sorry." He's like, "No, it's fine, it's fine. Just give me 2 minutes. I'll be right back. Hold on." Oh my gosh. He's going to do Mitzilas Yadayim, he's going to say Berachas HaTorah. He's like, "What did I just do to the Gadol Hador?" He said, "Oh my God." He's like, it was like the longest 2 minutes of his life. He's just waiting up. Ramosha said he should hang on. He's holding on. Finally, like after 2-3 minutes, Ramosha comes back and says, "Hello." It's like, "Rebbe, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to." He's like, "No, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine." It's like, "Yeah, I just have a quick question." It's like, "Okay, yeah, what's your question?" He asked him a question, gave him an answer. It's like, "Rebbe, again, I'm so sorry." He's like, "It's fine. Don't worry about it." It's like, "Okay." He says, "By the way," Ramosha says, "can I just have your address?" "My address? In Israel?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Okay." Ramosha asks him for your address. He gives him his address. Gives him his address. Gives him the phone. He's like, "Why did Ramosha want my address? I can't figure it out." He's like, "I got it." It was such a great question, he wants to put it in the Igros Moshe. See, he wants to send me a copy of the letter before it goes to the Igros Moshe. Like, why else did he ask for my address? It must be there was a good kasha. He's going to write a shuva, and he's going to send me a copy of the letter. Okay. Why else would he ask me for my address? 2 weeks later, he gets an envelope in the mail with a couple of dollars in the envelope. Ramosha says, "I apologize. I know at that time, every minute that you were on a call from Israel cost a few cents, whatever, for every 10 seconds. I'm sorry for keeping you waiting on the phone when I got to come back. So I just wanted to apologize. And here's the couple of dollars that I kept you waiting on the phone." He woke up the Gadol Hador in the middle of the night to ask him whatever question. First of all, Ramosha, the kid, he's like, he has a question. I have to give him an answer. Now, I have no problem giving him an answer. And the caring that he has, like Avram Avinu. So in our door, we have leaders that taught us these three messages. Let us all remember, it's the last night of Sukkot, the last night of the three holiday cycle. So I'll take these messages to heart. Let's make sure that we live and follow in the footsteps of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Hashem. We should be zocheh very soon to dance Simchas Beis Shoeva with the Avos HaKadoshim right here in the base of Mikdash, and there of Yamin.